Well, guys, it is my real, as I said, honour and privilege that this evening we're going to unpack God's Word together. And the theme for this year for C3 Powerhouse as a church, both here on the sunny coast and in Melbourne East and, of course, soon to be Sydney, is this whole idea of equipping the saints, which I think is so brilliant. I love the way that Paul kind of unpacks the significance of that in Ephesians, and he talks about, you know, that fivefold ministry: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and that those roles are to equip the saints. Now, here's the beautiful thing. The saints, that's actually you and me. It's beautiful. We don't have to wait for the Pope to give us a papal blessing and sainthood. It's amazing. You don't have to follow the dragons. Like, you can be a saint because of what Jesus... I know, it's terrible, eh? You can be a saint because of what Christ has done for you and is doing through you. So what Paul is unpacking is the idea that for each of us, there is a role, there is something we can do in building God's church here on earth. There's something significant he has for each and every one of us. And not only that, he is actually gifting us to be able to do that. So God doesn't just punt us out of the house like some kind of orphan, good luck. He actually equips us for the work he has set for us to do. So beautiful, so kind. And this evening, we are looking at this stream of the prophetic, pursuing the prophetic. So we're going to spend 3 weeks as a church looking at this. And this morning, Pastor Teresa absolutely knocked it out of the park. If you weren't here this morning, seriously, you need to listen to that message. It was so beautifully practical, biblical, and activating for you in your life. Because here's one of the things I've discovered over the years when it comes to the prophetic. Sometimes we can shut down to the idea of it because we see it lampooned in others. What do I mean by that? I mean, we've seen a horrible expression of the prophetic. Someone's jumped up awkwardly, their voice has suddenly changed, and they're like speaking as though they were from the ancient, you know, the Middle Ages, and they're pointing, and then they're getting sweaty, and suddenly they're yelling, and it's like, oh, what is going on? And what can happen in that instance is we can shut down that whole part of our faith because of a bad experience. My prayer for us this evening is that we'll be open to what God might want to do, because Paul has some extremely clear and strong words to say about the prophetic. And here's the thing, it's not limited to just one or two. It's not limited to super Christians, whatever they're meant to be, but it's for all believers. All believers. I love it. It's so good. All right, so if you've got a Bible, why don't you pull it out? If it's on your phone, feel free to load it on up. We're going to find ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm just going to read a little chunk here this evening. So, Paul writing this, and in verse 1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. And then in verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Whew. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. All right, little chunk of scripture there. To give us context to the time and the space and the place that Paul was writing this letter, one of many letters that Paul wrote to churches in the ancient Near Eastern world that he planted. So Corinth is the city that he's writing this letter to. A great way of kind of thinking about Corinth, particularly back then, is like this. It's this melting pot city. It's a significant trade point for many ancient civilizations. And it got to the point that you could summarize Corinth like this. You could say intellectually arrogant, they thought they knew it all, materially affluent, they were extremely wealthy, morally corrupt. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel as though some of those characteristics echo certain cities in the Western world today. Wouldn't you agree? Intellectually arrogant, materially affluent, and morally corrupt. So in the context of this melting pot, Paul plants a church, starts sharing about the good news of Jesus Christ, and this beautiful church begins to spring up. But here's the truth of it. Hey, when we come to Jesus, he loves us so much we come as we are. And he loves us so much He doesn't want to just leave us in that place. So we come into church and it's an absolute mixed bag of lollies, hey? In the Corinth church, they really had some of their cultural characteristics domineering their church services. So you've got people in this church who are talking over the top of each other, people that are speaking in tongues over the top of each other, people that are prophesying over the top of each other. The people in this Corinthian church were using their spiritual gifts to say, oh, I'm better than you and I deserve to be here in the church and I should be sitting over there. And they were lording their spiritual gifts over each other. That's why Paul comes in. And if you've read through the book of Corinthians, you'll notice two significant themes, one being around unity and the second one around love. Because he's like, what you guys are doing, you are not unified. You're really using spiritual gifts as though they're self-edifying and they're just for you as opposed to help out other believers and build each other up in love. And that's why he uses such strong language. So even in here, in this part that we've read here in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is saying it's beautiful when you speak in tongues because it builds up your spirit and you're speaking directly to God. Significant and important. He's saying, but if there's not someone interpreting it, in the church, the big context here, he's like, it can't build other people up because they don't know what's going on. That's why he's like, I love it when you prophesy because it builds up other believers. And that's one of the significant things when it comes to the stream of the prophetic, friends, and when it comes to pursuing the prophetic. I've got a couple of thoughts for us to really grab a hold of, to anchor ourselves around tonight. Some truths even that we need to understand as believers of Jesus Christ. The first one is this. Jesus still speaks today. God still speaks today. And I want to tell you something. I love that fact. Here's the truth. I don't want to give my life over to a dull, mute, inactive idol. I want to give my life over to a living God who's transforming people's lives like we heard from Ebony tonight, who is still able to speak and move and transform and shift something in my world when I realize it is well beyond any of my control. God still speaks today. In John, chapter 10, verse 1 through 5, Jesus speaks this, and I love it because it gives us a context of his heart towards us. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. Context is we are the sheep, Christ is the shepherd. In verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In verse 4, when he brought them all out, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow. Why? Because they know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Probably 2 years ago, I don't know if you remember this or not, but a small clip of a rural shepherd became a viral thing. And people were like kind of testing out this idea. Do sheep actually listen to a shepherd's voice or not? Or was it just something that happened way back in the day? And it was so classic because there was two guys there standing at kind of a rocky wall that became the sheep's pen. And one of the guys comes over and he's like, you know, I don't know how you call a sheep, but like, coo, 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 coo. I don't know, whatever it is. Oi, sheep, come on over. And they don't move. They got nothing. Then the shepherd just starts like going, yeah, bang, instantly, heads turn. Sheep start coming towards the shepherd. What does that say to us today? It says to me that Jesus is speaking still and that we can know his voice and that he is still actively involved in our lives today. That is so important because, friends, if you don't believe that God is still speaking today, this whole stream of prophecy is going to be completely inactive in your faith. God still wants to speak to people today. I love it. I love it. So what is prophecy? Simple. Hearing from God for someone else. Hearing from God for somebody else. You know, just last week I had said to a friend of mine who's overseas on a holiday with his family, he just sent me a message. He's like, hey, I'd love some prayer. And I'm like, yep, no worries. Sounds good. You know, the classic Christian thing. And then like a day later, I'm driving in my car and I'm like, oh, I completely forgot to pray for Sam. So I'm like, oh, okay, it's not too late. Prayed. And then I'm like, oh, he really said if I feel like I've got anything from God, from all right. So then I was God, have you got anything for Sam? And then I started seeing this picture of a potted plant, root bound, getting pulled out of one pot, getting the roots teased apart, put into another one. And this is the honest truth is, part of me is like, Brendan, you've been in churches way too long. That's just the most generic picture. Honestly, you could give that to 100 people that you walk down the street. So I'm like sending him a voicemail message, second guessing myself in my mind at the exact same time, thinking, oh my gosh, also realizing, and I'm a day late from what I was meant to do. But here's the beautiful thing about God. A day later, time zone, I'd like to think, maybe he was a bit offended, I don't know. But he sends me this beautiful message saying, mate, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you so much for taking the time. Now, that's just God's goodness. Brendan's being like in a pork chop land, not even remembering to pray for his mate. But here I am driving along and God arrests me and reminds me in that moment because he wants to speak to people too. That's the beauty of the prophetic stream. It's expressing the love of God to others in such a phenomenal way. And that's why the most important thing to remember about prophecy, friends, is this. The engine room, the motivation and the drive of prophecy is love. It's not to showboat. It's not to create some kind of self-significance. It's not to say, oh, I'm kind of a better Christian than old mate next to me. Not at all. It's motivated by love. 1 Corinthians 13:2, and Paul writes this, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I have nothing. That is significant. We need to be motivated by love. And that's what the church in Corinth was missing. They were so self-centered in what they were doing, they had no expression of love, even though they had these gifts. And Paul needs to bring that correction to them and say, when you are doing this, it's motivated by love. Motivated by love. It needs to be. And here's one thing that I'd love to say to you this evening. If you're struggling in that area of love, like loving other Christians, it can be hard at times. Let's be honest. Don't look at the person next to you. Just go, yeah, it can be sometimes. It can be a struggle. Remember these truths. In 1 John, at the end of his life, this beautiful apostle, this church planner, this man who walked with Christ himself, now in exile on that island of Patmos, he says this, we love because he first loved us. So love is a response. Because I have received God's love, I can love. Because I've received God's love, now I can activate that gift in love. So love needs to be the key motivation, friends. Love needs to be the key motivation. 1 Corinthians 14:12, so it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. Our activity for Christ should be building people up, not cutting people down. So, some guardrails when it comes to this stream of the prophetic, which is important to know. This is, we're talking about maturity. This whole year, hey, at C3 Powerhouse, we want to become more mature Christians and followers of Jesus. So it's good to know these things. Here's some guardrails. The first one is this, and as Pastor Teresa said this morning so beautifully, it's put everything through this filter. Will it do these things? Will it build someone up? Will it be done in love? Will it, and I'm finding that beautiful verse there, strengthen, encourage, or comfort? Strengthen, encourage, or comfort. If it's not going to be doing one of those three things, maybe just check what you're meant to do with that. So maturity says this, all right, God, I'd love to have a word for someone, maybe today, maybe in my workplace, maybe at church, whatever. And you're feeling like you're hearing something, maturity says, all right, God, now what do you want me to do with that? If it ticks those three boxes, okay, yep, feeling like I should share it. If it's maybe not ticking those boxes, all right, God, do you want me to pray about it? Is it something for me just to hold, to pray about for that person? I'll tell you one thing, it will never be the gift of gossip. It's never meant to be, oh God, you've given me that insight about that person. I'll just go and talk to Jane about that later on in the week with coffee and, oh, Jane, hey. No, sorry if your name's Jane. It's never that. Because I'll tell you one thing gossip will never do, ever build up a church. That's why it's considered not like, it's really bad behavior to gossip. Actually, scripture says it's a sin. It's a sin. Oof, okay. So that's something you would never do with a prophetic word. It's either taken to pray through or to share with that person if it's kicking those three goals. Super important to understand. One of the other significant guardrails of prophecy is this, God's word. So important for us. It becomes the authoritative lens through which everything is filtered, doesn't it? So if you're feeling like God's giving you a nudge to share with someone something that is like completely the antithesis of scripture, could have been bad pizza. Not the thing for you to share. But that gives you a sense of safety when you're sharing. Because the nature of that is that it can be a little bit intimidating when you first begin to step out in faith to give someone a prophetic word. And knowing that, hang on, that aligns with scripture, it aligns with those three things that Paul unpacks in regards to building up the church. Okay, now I can feel some confidence in wanting to share that. So the engine room is love. Those are the guardrails. And here's something that's really, really important as well, friends. For those of us here who receive a prophetic word from someone comes up and says, hey, I just feel like God wanted to say this or got an impression of that, which is beautiful and loving. We have got the beautiful honor of weighing up what they've said to us. So we don't just sit there open mouth, just swallowing everything that's coming. Yep. Oh yeah, no worries. Fantastic. I'm going to change my whole life tomorrow. No. Scripture tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:20-22. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject whatever is evil. Simple. That's maturity, friends. So we don't completely shut down and we don't completely swallow it all, but we say, thank you for that. And now I have the honor of weighing that up with my relationship with God. And like, where are we at with that, God? Okay, fantastic. And move through it in that regard. So finally, in the time we've got left, how do we activate this gift? Really good question. Thanks for asking. All right. First one is this, eagerly desiring it. Eagerly desiring the gifts. It's a common thread throughout the New Testament that the authors are like, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, it's a beautiful thing to desire them, to want those things. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul himself writes this, therefore, in verse 39, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. And again, right at the beginning of the passage we read this evening, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So practically, that looks like asking God. I love that story we see in the Gospels where Jesus unpacks what God is like as a father. And he says, like, even humans know that if a kid asks for bread, you don't give them a stone. Like, that's almost humanity 101. It's definitely parenting 101. And Jesus says, like, that's you guys who are pretty broken. Imagine how much better your Heavenly Father is when you ask Him for things. So when it comes to eagerly desiring, friends, I'd just say this, asking God, Lord, and not just like in a one-off moment, but having a posture, which we'll talk about in a moment, where I'm like, Lord, do you have something that you would like to say? Because I would love to activate that gift and move in that space. Eagerly desire. The second one is this, assessing the pace and posture of your life. What do I mean by that? The Western world and the pace at which we live is unkind to our souls. It's constant bombardment of information, content, and entertainment. And the expectation is that we need to be in that stream constantly. And it's no good. My friend Morgan Schneider, who heads up Become Good Soil Ministry in America, talks about the idea of a soul's pace and a soul's portion. Sometimes you just need to turn off. Sometimes you do need to slow down because you've reached your limit, and that's okay. Because our soul can only take so much. And when our pace is so frantic, that we can't even like know where our head is from our tail, we will struggle to hear God's voice. We will. Now, this is not about the other extreme, which is like, well, I'll do nothing. I can do nothing and God will look after everything. As a matter of fact, Dallas Willard, a beautiful Christian author, puts it this way, and he says, the gospel is not against effort, it's against earning. Effort comes from, I know who I am in Christ, so I can work hard. Earning says, I am working hard because I'm trying to earn God's favor. And friends, that's not the gospel at all. The gospel is because of what Christ has done for us. Now I can put my best foot forward. I can literally get in and work hard, and I'm graced for that because of what Christ has done. Not to earn favor, not to earn position, not to earn love. I've already received all of that because he loves me before I ever took a step towards him. That's important to remember. The pace and then the posture of our life. Are we living with a level of intentionality that wants to be used by God in our everyday? Are we just waiting for a Sunday moment, or are we considering it Monday through Saturday? Are there opportunities in our workplace, at our university, at our school? Is there a chance for us maybe to share? Are we living in a way where we're like, God, if you'd like to speak today, hey, I'm up for it. And look, here's the beautiful thing, as I just shared, God will just give us a tap on the shoulder anyway, which I love that about him. But when we live life in a pace and with a posture where we're aware and attuned, my background is not only ministry, but as an electrician by trade, and I've spent the last 15 years working in underground coal mining on and off between ministry stuff. And I'll tell you, the number of significant conversations I've had underground, working on the mine, in the long wall with guys, one-on-one, and it's just simply like, I'm like, God, I don't want to stuff this up, you know? God, I want to be able to try and say something that you would like in that moment, because it's like you can be underground. And as the boys often say to me, oh, we're closer to the other guy than up there, aren't we, mate? But it's like, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. Are you living with a posture that's like, God, I'd love to be used by you today? To not to earn, but because of I know who I am. So I'd love to be used by you today, God. And then it's this final thought, friends. Stepping out. Stepping out. Priscilla Shira puts it this way, having your spiritual radar up in constant anticipation of his presence, even in the midst of the joyful chaos and regular rhythms of your everyday life, is paramount to hearing God. Because sometimes the place and the manner you find him in is the least spectacular you'd expect. What is she saying there? In our everyday goings, let's have a posture of, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to step out in faith. And here's the beautiful thing. You blow it, it's okay. That doesn't change how much God loves you. You don't get put in the naughty corner for a month. Not at all. If we hold to those guardrails, we're doing it from love. We're considering that this is in line with Scripture, and I really want to build this person up. You might be off, but that's okay. Take that step and then take it again. Here's the beautiful thing. As a maturing Christian who hears it, they're going to weigh that up with God anyway. So that's how that works, friends. The unity that's in that, the structure that is built, can I tell you, that becomes a scaffolding to a body of believers that builds us up into that which Christ has got for us. It's important. It's really significant, friends. And I just want to say to you, if you've been wondering, considering, maybe even heard Pastor Teresa's message this morning, and you're like, I wonder if this prophecy thing is for me. I would say, hey, look, listening to Paul, he's down for everyone to move into that space. Of course, some people are gifted in the office of a prophet, and which is a totally different kettle of fish, but all of us have the opportunity to be activated into and step out with that prophetic gift that God has got for us in, can I say this, friends, in a really natural way? Really natural. I loved what you said this morning, Pastor Teresa, just around that idea of saying, hey, I've got a feeling, or I have an impression, and then sharing with someone what you feel like God's given you. You don't have to lead with the big right-hand cross of, hey, God told me, whack. Like, no, not at all. You want to build people up, hey. You really want to build people up. You know, church, as I was worshiping together with you guys this evening, which was so beautiful, I was just like, God, do you want to I'm like, do you want to, you know, I thought I better ask him, do you want to speak to anyone tonight? And actually, I saw for the whole church just this picture of, and stay with me, okay? I'm from New South Wales, but please stay with me. I just saw a stream of people walking up that road there, whatever that one's called, where the T intersection is, up and into the car park and through the doors. And what was significant was these people had umbrellas up, like, you know, that classic black, like London-esque kind of umbrella. And they're walking in with umbrellas up. They walk in through the glass doors, and as they hit the glass doors, every one of them just dropped their umbrella down, like closed the umbrella, walked into this space, and they were getting, this is the bit that sounds like, what? They were getting rained on once they'd walked in. And then I was using what Pastor Teresa had said this morning, and I'm like, all right, that's the picture. And I said, all right, God, what's that about? Great second question to ask God. And he said, what it is there are going to be people coming into this house, coming into this community, coming into this church. The umbrellas that they've had up, they are arguments, disappointments, angers, hurts. They're logical things that they thought they'd had a hold of. They're like intellectual disagreements. There's a whole host. And as they walked in, what I felt like God was saying was, the presence of God that as a church community you guys have diligently and faithfully built and continue to build, they can't help but walk in, drop the umbrella, feel God's presence. And the arguments and the hurt and the disappointment, the bitterness, the cynicism, which I felt was a significant one, the cynicism, they're just washed away because they're able to experience it. If the umbrella was up, they wouldn't touch it at all. And so I just wanted to say, I felt like God was encouraging you as a church community for what's to come, but also to say, hey, well done for holding true to what God has put on this house, for believing that yes, God's presence is still so significant for people today and for staying that path. Friends, there are going to be so many more testimonies like Ebony's and beyond, so many more people in this space who are radically, radically transformed as they encounter God. And not just in here, that's the truth. But as we go out with that sense of, yeah, okay, I'm ready to be just a normal Christian, because the ancient Christian world, the way that they used to live it, that was the norm, par for the course. Yeah, of course God wants to speak to someone. I'll just go over and have a word. Wherever you are, we'll see transformation in people's lives. Like the boss that ticks you off, how good when God encounters them. Or that neighbor that is just like, oh, here he goes again. And I'm just trying to love him, but oh, I wish I hadn't put the powerhouse sticker on the back of my car. You know, like that neighbor. Once God encounters, beautiful. There are going to be story after story. And so I want to encourage you as a church community. I just felt like God was like, yeah, encourage you. Well done. Well done. Continue in that. So good. So we're going to have a moment, unless I've got my time completely wrong, Josh, which I might have. Oh, yeah, I've got it wrong. No, I'm good. You can give me the thumbs down, Hannah. You're allowed to. Yeah. Thank you. We're just going to have a moment.